I want to talk this morning about being ready. There's a lot of, you know, I started thinking about that, and there's just so many aspects that come into that. What does it mean to be ready? Well, if you don't know what's coming, how are you going to be ready for it? Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Is anybody expecting it to be raining when they woke up this morning? I wasn't. It was raining pretty good, though. Weather says, you know, I power up the computer, it says, raining now. I'm like, really? Picked right up on that. Yeah, okay. Of course, last week I had a day I got up, it says, the rain is going to start soon. I'm like, oh, there's things I need to do before the rain starts. But we don't know what today is going to bring. Anybody who's ever been in an accident knows you didn't plan to be in the accident. Things happen in our lives. And in order to be ready for the things that come, we have to first be at peace with God. We have to be at peace knowing that no matter what happens, God is still in control. Because if we allow ourselves to be completely wrapped up, completely overwhelmed by everything that goes on around us, when something comes up, we get shaken. When you're shaken, you're not ready. When you're shaken, you're not prepared. When you're startled by the things that happen, it's easy to get overwhelmed. But in order to be at peace, in order to be ready, we have to know that no matter what happens, no matter what today brings forth, I'm engraved in the hands of a sovereign God who loves me, who's watching over me, who has my best interest at heart and in mind. That way, even when things come up that I find rather unpleasant, I still know I'm not alone. Anybody ever been in a situation that was not pleasant? Woohoo! Anybody remember at that time the word says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice? Yes, Lord. Got to rejoice even in the midst of it. It says, I will glory in tribulation. I don't want to glory in tribulation. But I know that God is still God. God still is in control. He is still at work in my circumstances. And He's worth my praise. He is worthy of my praise, no matter what's happening. Now imagine those poor people around us that don't know God. Because Peter says, don't consider it strange, or consider it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you as though some strange thing happens. Because these same testings are encountered in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everybody goes through similar things. Our hope, our expectation, our comfort comes in the fact that we know who holds tomorrow. And they don't. You deal with people that are going through a bad time, sometimes they're difficult to deal with. To be quite honest, if I'm having a rough day, sometimes I'm difficult to deal with. And I have that hope. So I shouldn't, you know, I'm getting a head shaking back there. At least she's not saying, amen, because she's done that before too. If I'm having a bad day, I might not be the most pleasant person to be around. But at least I have the hope. So why should we be surprised or upset if someone who doesn't have the precious hope that we have finds themselves in difficulties and acts out and acts badly? Are we ready to deal with other people acting out? Not always. I'm not. Yet we have this hope, we have this expectation that God is still God. We know that He has us engraved in the palm of His hands. We know He holds our tomorrows. We know that He is the one who we will spend eternity with. We know that even if we fall, He's the one who's able to pick us up. We know He's the one who's able to keep us from falling and to preserve us. Praise God. He continues to watch over and guide us. But where does that hope come from? If we just had somebody tell us about how great God was, let me tell you about this God. And all we ever hear is what somebody else says without ever developing a relationship on our own, without ever getting to know Him on our own, then how deeply grounded is that hope? We hope the people we were talking to were telling the truth. But if we don't know who they're talking about, we don't have that hope. We don't have that expectation. We don't have that confidence in knowing that God is God. Think about Job. The end of the book of Job, after God has spent a couple of chapters saying, "Where were you when I hung the earth? Do you know where I set the line in the sea that it cannot go past there? Do you know where I keep the storehouses of snow? Can you pull out Leviathan with the hook? Do you know where were you when I put the stars in the sky, when I put the stars into heaven and named them all? Where were you?" At the end of it, Job says, "Before I heard of you by the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes have seen you, and I am undone." Job got to know who God was, and that God was worthy of praise. Even though Job had lost his children, Job had lost all of his wealth, Job had his wife saying, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Had gone through that suffering, had been told by his friends that, you know, he just needed to confess the sin because God would never do that to a person who wasn't a sinner. "You must be a wicked sinner." Until Job saw himself in light of the holiness of God, couldn't believe that he was a wicked sinner. But when that happened, he said, "You are righteous and I am not." And God restored him. The things that Job went through were all part of God's plan. And they're all part of a lesson that's in the scripture today for us to know and desire to know who God is. Are we ready for whatever comes? You hear people talking about, arguing about when the rapture is going to be. Is it going to be before the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation or after the tribulation? Arguing about it. "One day I will know, even as also I am known. Today I don't know." I've seen the arguments all three ways. But I also seen the thing that says that you can pull out of the parking lot and get hit by a semi-truck, so it really won't matter when the rapture's happening. Yours would be that day. The day you draw your last breath is the day you get raptured. Now, whether or not that happens to be a group thing or an individual thing, the day you draw your last breath, that's your day. Are you ready for that day, whenever that day may be? How long ago was Nicholas's accident, Deb? 2 months ago? A month and a half ago?
A month and a half, maybe.
A month and a half ago, our nephew, who has had seizures, we believe that's what happened, we're not positive, at any rate, crossed the center line in the middle of the day and hit another car head on. That was the last day for those two people in the other vehicle. Rest of us are still here. You know, there's a song that was incorporated into the Left Behind movie said, "I wish we'd all been ready." Are you ready? Are we ready to face whatever comes? Do we have the hope of knowing that no matter what happens, the sovereign hand of an almighty God is watching over me? The eyes of the Lord are paying attention, going to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast on Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf. God's plan is to show His grace and power and glory through our circumstances. Praise God. And He's paying attention every time we think upon the name of the Lord. It's written in the book. Don't even have to say anything. Just think upon His name. It's written down. Jesus says, "For every idle word a man shall speak, he'll give an account." So the words we speak are God's paying attention to. Our thoughts, every time we think upon His name, it's written down. God is paying that close of attention to the things that are going on in us. How close of attention are we paying to the things of God? Are we ready? In Hebrews 9, beginning with verse 22... talking about the need for a Savior. Beginning with verse 22 says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copy of the things in heavens should be purified by these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." So he's talking about the sacrifices that they would sacrifice, rams and goats and bulls, to shed the blood to sanctify the tabernacle and to sanctify the altar on the earth. But the heavenly things themselves
require better sacrifices. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, with the copies of the truth, but into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ, who offered once to bear the sins for many, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear the second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Jesus laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin, for you and for me. And he did it once. And when he was done, he said, "It is finished." He's done his part. Back in the Old Testament, they had to have those sacrifices on a regular basis. And when, even now, when reaching out to our Jewish brothers and sisters, as we talk to them, you say, if you had to have a sacrifice for the atonement of sin, how's your sin getting covered now? If they don't believe in Jesus, how do you have a hope that your sin is covered if there's no sacrifice? How do you have that hope? How do you have an expectation that you can go before the throne of a holy God when you are forbidden, when there is no way to do a sacrifice? If you don't believe that a sacrifice has been made for you, how can you stand before a holy God? You know, if you meet the Israeli or anybody in Israel, they tend to pray with their head covered. You know what that's about? They cover the head as a sign of shame. I am not worthy to come into your presence. I must hide my head. Covering the head is a sign of shame for the men. Even though they've got their prayer shawl on, especially the very, very religious Jews, they've got their prayer basically coat under their other garments because you can see the tassels hanging out. They're wrapped in that prayer garment all the time. And they'll sit there and they'll put the little boxes of scripture and they'll lace them up on their hands and tie one around their forehead because it's symbolic of let the word of God be in your forehead. So they put a little box right here. And they cover their head. Because I'm in shame. We have a sacrifice that has been given once for all time. As we've claimed Jesus, it says in Isaiah, when you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he that is the Father looks down and sees Jesus in our stead. We are imputed with the righteousness of Jesus. We stand before God having Jesus' righteousness because Jesus has paid the price for our sin. So praise God, we're ready. But is our heart set to be ready? Jesus said, "It is finished. It is done. Over and done with. That's it." But we're also told to walk out our salvation daily with fear and trembling. It says when we encounter a brother or sister that's overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual. Now he's talking to the church. And he doesn't say all of you. He said, you who are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. Recognize that we need Jesus each and every day. Be ready each and every day to seek the face of the Lord. Be ready each and every day to enter into the presence of the Lord. Because we don't know when that day comes. Whether it's going to be with an angel standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and blasting the trumpet and said, "Time shall be no more." That's the end. Or whether it's going to be being caught up together with him, with the dead in Christ, to meet Jesus in the air. Or whether it's going to be, we're one of the dead in Christ. You know? Some men go to judgment beforehand and some come following after. And we've given our sins over to the Lord.
we confessed our sins. Are we knowing that as we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Praise God. It's a process. He's still cleansing us. He's still refining us. He's still at work in us. And I just read a thing on Facebook this morning that I'd seen before. It was a friend of mine, actually, Tammy Preston. She's her and her husband Matt used to pastor Touch of Grace Church over in Hardwick, Vermont, and they've just moved to Kentucky. But she shared one of her memories, and they had been doing a ladies' Bible study. And I'm thinking they were in the book of Habakkuk. But they came across this verse that talked about God sitting as a refiner of silver. And none of them knew what it was. One of the ladies in the group volunteered to go investigate. And as she went to a silversmith and didn't tell him what she was doing there. She told him she wanted to watch his process. And he said, sure. So while she's there, she noticed him put the piece of silver in the fire and begin working it and working with it. And she asked what he's doing. He says, well, you have to get the impurities out. You have to be sitting. It has to be in the fire for the impurities to come out. And then she said, well, can you put it in the fire and walk away? He said, absolutely not. Because if it's in there too long, it will be ruined. So as God is refining us as silver, we're not only in the fire, but we're also in the center of His attention. He's paying close attention to what's going on. We haven't been put in there and left. We've been put in there and are lovingly, carefully attended to. Praise God, He's at work in my life like that. He's at work in your life like that. Whatever comes, recognize that God hasn't abandoned us. He's not ignoring us. He's paying that close of attention. In Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36, Jesus is talking about the end of the age. He says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Just going about normal lives, normal everyday lives. What are people doing today? Going about normal everyday lives. Wrapped up in their own issues, their own concerns. Now Noah preached, while he built the ark, Noah preached for 100 years that there was a flood coming. They'd never seen a flood. They'd never seen a boat, or at least not a boat that big on dry land. They would have had to travel quite a ways to see a boat. But here's this guy building a boat in the middle of dry land, no water around. It has never rained on the earth at that time. Scripture says the earth had been watered by dew up until then. It had never rained, and he says there's a rain coming. They'd never seen a boat that size. So here you have this crazy man saying something's going to happen that's never happened, building something they've never seen, and telling them your life... You're going to die. You know, you're going to get wiped out. You must repent. And they're ignoring him. Sometimes as we go about and we try to tell people about the gospel, tell people about the goodness of God, tell people about the dangers of the ways of this world, tell the dangers of doing things our own way and following after our own plans and purposes and not seeking the face of God. They look at us like we're crazy people out there building a boat in the middle of the desert, you know. Talking about something that's never happened. Jesus is coming back. Oh yeah, when was the last time that happened? You know? Never happened before. Here you are telling me it's going to happen. They don't believe. We have to be convinced in our own heart and in our own life that God has what He said He's going to do, He's going to do. Amen. If we don't believe it ourselves, how in the world can we share it with people that don't know and don't understand? Verse 40. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left.
Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour where you do not expect. Now remember what I said earlier, that you could pull out of the parking lot and be hit by a tractor trailer. I'm not suggesting this is going to happen. I'm not being prophetic. I'm just saying things like this happen. We don't know what day we're drawing our last breath. But we'd still know that God is coming for each and every one of us. We still know He is God. We still know He loves us. And we can rest and rely upon that. Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and the much more as you see the day approaching. It says not only trusting that we have this high priest, but boldly coming into His presence, having this confidence that He has us, that no matter what our circumstances are, He has us. No matter what's going on around us, He has us. You know, anybody can have a bad day. Everybody knows where Mount Vesuvius is? In Italy, just south of Naples, overlooking the former village of Pompeii. They recently were doing some more excavating, and they came up with found a skeleton in Pompeii where a chunk of lava blown out of the mountain had landed right on this guy's head. That's a bad day. That was in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We don't know when our day is up. We don't know when our circumstances will come to an end. People have heart attacks. People have strokes. People have car wrecks. People get electrocuted twice, in my case. Things happen. But God is still God, and God is still in control. Are we ready no matter what happens? Are we ready to face our Lord each and every day? Are we ready to face our Lord each and every moment? We're called to be ready, not just for when the sky splits and Jesus comes and takes us all up, but every day. Final passage, James 4, beginning with verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. When we try to tell God what we're going to do, we try to tell God how things are going to work out, that boasting is evil. When we trust the Lord that He will guide and direct our steps, when we trust the Lord that as our set His heart to follow the Lord, He will actually turn the ground under our feet to have us going in the right direction. When we trust that God loves us and He has our best in mind. Even when He's refining us, even when He's working in us, even as God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and watch as he worked to work on the wheel. And the work became marred in the potter's hand, and the potter started over again. And God says, this is Israel. This is me shaping Israel. This is also God shaping us. He is working in us. Praise God. He hasn't given up on me. He hasn't given up on you. And He calls us to be ready to spend our time with Him. Spend eternity with Him. The things that come up in our lives, the things that try to get the best of us. It's easy to be just like the people in the days of Noah. But the Lord's going to come for us at a time that we don't know. Getting back to people looking at the, trying to figure out when the rapture is going to be, and arguing about the scriptures, where it's, you know, being, well, according to this, it's, you know, whether it's the argument that Jesus calls the church His bride, and what man would let his bride go through the difficult times that are being described in the book, you know, or the article or the argument that says, for the very elect's sake, the days will be shortened. That means there has to be some elect in the middle of the days for the days to be shortened, or whatever. But trying to figure out when it's going to be based on what's going on around us. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the rest of the day. So we're called to be ready right now. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the call. We thank You, Lord, for the direction, Lord, to be ready no matter what comes. To not be affected by the things going on around us, Lord, but to be steadfast in our faith and confident in our relationship with You and ever drawing closer to You, Lord. Ever seeking Your face, ever seeking Your glory, ever seeking Your love, and sharing that with the people around us. Spending our days, Father, sharing Your word, spending our days, Lord, being Your ambassadors to this generation. Spending our days, Father, being the lights and salt that You've called us to be. Your word tells us that if the master of the house sets his servant on certain tasks, and the servant says, "My master delays his coming and proceeds to eat and drink and just abuse the other servants," that there's punishment coming for that. But also says, "Blessed is the servant whom when the master comes, find him doing what he was told to do." Lord, help us to be doing what it is You called us to do, each individually and corporately, Lord, to be faithful to the call You placed in our lives, to be ready that when You come, You find us doing what You've set us to do. You find us being faithful witnesses. You find us being the lights to this generation, the salt and light to the people around us. You find us being Your ambassadors. You find us being faithful servants, that You might say, "Well done." Father, we thank You, Lord, for the reminder. Always be ready. Always be doing the things You called us to do. Always be giving glory to You in our hearts and in our lives, that others might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Always bringing praise to You. We give You thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.